Good morning. It's great to be here. I want to thank the congregation again this year for allowing me to come speak, and for thanks to Brother Doug for asking me. The part of the scripture in which Jacob just read that I was assigned to was, "No temptation has overtaken you except such as is common to man." I think I tried my best to stay out of Brother Jared and Brother Destry's lesson as much as I could, but we'll see how this goes. No sin has overtaken you. I want to read from 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 9 through 11. "Do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived. Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor homosexuals, nor sodomites, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners will inherit the kingdom of God. And such were some of you, but you were washed, but you were sanctified, but you are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ by the Spirit of God. People that do such things in the flesh will not inherit the kingdom of God. No one forces anybody to sin. It's all on you. No one can take away your eternal life once you get it. It's all up to you." In John chapter 10, verses 27 through 30, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me, and I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall anyone snatch them out of my hand. My Father who has given them to me is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one." No one can take away your eternal life, but you can sure walk away from it. It's an amazing promise we have. In the email that Doug has sent me, he asked me to speak on three different things: the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life. It is not a bad thing to be tempted. It is good to be tempted. But it's what we do with that temptation that equals the outcome. There is always a consequence for everything we do, whether good or bad. There's always an outcome. I want to look at one example of lust of the eyes, and I chose to look at David because he saw before he committed the sin in the flesh. In 2 Samuel chapter 11, verses 2 through 5, "Then it happened one evening David arose from his bed and was walking on the roof of the king's house. And from the roof he saw a woman bathing, and the woman was very beautiful to behold. So David sent and inquired about the woman, and someone said, 'Is it not Bathsheba, the daughter of Elam, the wife of Uriah the Hittite?' And David sent messengers and took her, and she came to him, and he lay with her. And she was cleansed from her impurity, and she returned to her house. And the woman conceived and sent and told David and said, 'I am with child.'" He saw her and wanted her. David knew better than to do what he did. But he didn't care, per se. He saw, he wanted, and he got. But he had to pay the price. God sees everything, and he knows everything. And today, what are things that we see that we would like, and that we like really badly, but are things that we shouldn't per se want, nor take advantage of? You know, let's say I got this new fancy smashy new truck, and Justin over here wanted it really bad. Or let's say some girl got the boyfriend that somebody else really wanted. We always want something. We always do. It's human nature. But it's what we do with it that matters. We must be careful of what we allow our eyes to tempt us with. Lust of the flesh. As I already read from 1 Corinthians, people that do things that were written in that verse will not inherit the kingdom of God. But I want to talk about two different parts of sin in the flesh. One is homosexuality, and the other is sexual intercourse. or sexual things, I should say. I had already planned on talking about homosexuality before the events played out this past week with the famous person on TV. But I want to read a quote that he said that I think has a lot of truth to it. Our culture has accepted two huge lies. The first is that if you disagree with someone's lifestyle, you must fear or hate them. The second is that to love someone means you agree with everything you believe, they believe or do. Both are nonsense. You do not compromise convictions to be compassionate. Phil Robertson. I believe that statement has a lot of truth to it. If we disagree with somebody outside in the world, they automatically think that we hate them or we fear them in some way. Or that because we're Christians, we're supposed to love everybody, and that means we agree with their lifestyle, when it's not. In reality, true Christians are not going to hate the person. But we should hate the sin. Homosexuality is not a new thing, nor is it a mental disorder. It is a choice. It is a choice you make. God didn't make you one way or the other. He made you one way, but in doing that, you said that, you know, you weren't pleased with how he made you. I want to read a quite lengthy verse in Romans chapter 1. I was just going to pick bits and pieces out of this, but it's kind of hard to do that. Romans chapter 1, verses 24 through 32. Therefore, God also gave them up for uncleanness and the lust of their hearts to dishonor their bodies among themselves, who exchanged the truth of God for a lie, and worship and serve a creature rather than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. For this reason, God gave them up to vile passions, for even their women exchanged the natural use for what is against nature. Likewise, also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust for one another, men with men committing what is shameful, and receiving in themselves the penalty of their error, which was due. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a debased mind and to do those things which are not fitting, being filled with all unrighteousness, sexual immorality, wickedness, covetousness, malice, full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, evil-mindedness. They are whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, violent, proud, boasters, enviers, evil things, disobedient to parents, undiscerning, untrustworthy, and unloving, unforgiving, unmerciful, who knowing the righteousness, judgment of God, those who participate such things are deserving of the death, not only to the same, but also approved those who practice them. So much outrage was caused over that statement that Phil Robertson made about a week and a half ago. And what also amazes me that people that identify themselves as gay or lesbians only make up 5% of the population of the United States. 5%! But yet, so many are letting that 5% win. The United States, the greatest country that has ever been and ever will be, a country that was founded on God and the Bible. But yet, 200 and some odd years later, from what our forefathers had based on, it has been twisted around to make almost anything and everything acceptable, when we know it's not. Because a statement was made that true Christians will know what's right. Well, if you read this, we wouldn't be in half the problems we're in today. Because this is the truth and the light. And as it says in John 14:15, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. Sexuality, a thing that most all of us, or will most all of us, be tempted with at some point in our lives. It's human nature. We're human, it's how God created us. Whether these things be between a girlfriend or a boyfriend, idolatry or pornography, God says abstain from these things outside of the bonds of marriage. As it said in 1 Corinthians 7:2, nevertheless, because of sexual immorality, let each man have his own wife and let each woman have her own husband. God knows how he created us. That's why he instituted the bonds of marriage. It's human nature and desire. In 1 Thessalonians 4:3, for this is the will of God, your sanctification, that you should abstain from sexual immorality. But some people will fail, and some people will fall in this. No, it is not right. But thank goodness for the death that Christ came and did for us. It's because of that we have hope of eternal life. We're all going to fall. We're all going to make mistakes. But it's how we recognize those mistakes, and it's how we correct them. Jesus came and gave his life, that through his death we have hope of eternal life. He came and washed away all our sins and provided us an avenue of prayer to go to the Father and ask for that forgiveness. We just have to recognize when we make mistakes and correct them. None of us are perfect. All of us will make mistakes. But Jesus made us pure. Jesus made us right. And finally, the pride of life. When I was thinking about the pride of life, I kept thinking about somebody who maybe has a lot of money, maybe is greedy for money and possessions, someone who's puffed up and centered around themselves only, or someone who thinks of themselves so highly and in their possessions that they don't think that they need God. And they're just like, oh, well, my possessions will take care of me. I know people like this that are so conceited in themselves and so proud of their possessions that they don't realize who gave them to them. You know, it's amazing how tempting money can be. Money's not going to buy our way into heaven. Once we die, it's going to be all left here. It's not going to do us one bit of good. That's why it says it's easier for a poor man to enter into the kingdom than a rich man. Our possessions are all from God. He gave them all, and he can take them back just as quickly. You know, we don't give him near the credit he deserves. I sure don't give him the credit he deserves. Nor do I sit down and pray near as much as I should, nor read the Bible as much as I should. Because we have so much freedom still in this country that, you know, I've got an iPad full of versions. I've got 3 or 4 Bibles sitting right there next to my bed at home. But it's amazing how much they just sit there and not opened. It's one of my weaknesses. I'm sure it's many of yours too. God has given us more than we deserve. And how much do we give him the glory and the honor and the praise he deserves? We'll never give him as much honor and praise as he deserves. But how much do we try? God has got the whole world in his hands. We will be tempted. and we will fall, and we will fail. But Jesus came, He lived, and showed us the way that we must go. And He died on our behalf for our sins. And we also have the hope of a glorious life with Him. Just remember, God is always there for us. He always has been and He always will be. If we fall, recognize what we have done and make the best effort possible to make it right. If it entitles having a close friend that you can confide in, that would be willing to help, it's an awesome way to go. And remember to pray, because God is our best friend.